It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Steve Bloomers Washing, your Independent Derby County podcast. Thank you for giving us your time after an opening weekend which saw disappointment for the Rams in their first league outing with a home defeat to relegated Wigan Athletic. A wake-up call, perhaps, for those hoping to set sail on HMS Pistol League this season. But a few positives as Pool 1 squad attempt to gel. So what went wrong in Derby's opener? Do we need to consider tweaking formation or even personnel? And is Lee, the Korean Derby fan, still alive? Joining me, Chris Parsons, to answer all those questions and assess the action. Blake Fallows, it's the hope that kills you, man. We're back.
Oh, just same old, isn't it? Same old. I mean, I thought they'd give me at least three or four games before that. I got that crushing feeling, but we're back, baby.
Yeah, death, life, death, taxes, and so on and so on. And in a welcome return to the pod, Chris Smith is here. Chris, welcome. Happy to have you back again.
Yeah, morning, Chris. Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
So how much has that defeat, Chris, knocked your sense of pre-season optimism? You're normally quite a glass half full guy. On the socials, yeah. I noticed. Like, are you still believing?
Yeah, I'm still believing. I think it's just a reality check. I think that as Blake, you know, we joke about it, but nothing's ever easy in Derby world. And I was doing some anti-post bets last week and talking about it. And even with Derby, I was like, not win the league. I think we'll have kind of top six, because you just know nothing's easy. And I think yesterday's not a kind of everything's horrific, and we'll talk about the detail, I guess, in a second. But I don't think yesterday was everything's horrific and it's all bad. But yeah, definitely a reasonably sharp reality check, I would suggest.
Yeah, so Derby County 1, Wigan Athletic 2. A surprisingly open opener, I thought. I mean, plenty of chances in a game which, let's be honest, we lost due to two textbook signs of rustiness. But Derby had more possession, more shots on target than the visitors. Could have had a penalty, but contrived to concede twice either side of a Craig Forsyth equaliser. Blake, Paul Warren reckoned we didn't deserve to lose. Do you agree?
That's a tough one. I think on the balance of play, I see where he's coming from. But when your biggest goal scoring threat on the pitch is Craig Forsyth, who probably could have had a hat trick, it's probably a bit of a worrying sign. I mean, we were creating them chances, but it was frustrating that there didn't seem to be anybody there to put the ball in the net. So yeah, we had the better of the play. We had more of the ball. We were putting the ball in the right areas, and we'll come on to it later. But Ward really impressed me with how he was putting them ball, whipping them balls across. And I know from talking to Craig Bryson recently, he said when they played the game against Stoke for the testimonial that's what Warren was banging on about. Get the ball out wide, get it in the box, get it out wide. So it's good that we've got that, and that's obviously going to be a tactic this season. And I think they did that well. It's just, did we make enough of what we created to deserve something from the game? I probably, on a balance of play and the nature of their goals, I'd probably agree with it. But I think it's maybe slightly harsh on Wigan, because he came and he did a job on us at the end of the day, didn't they? And they have won, and they've took the 3 points. And I don't know if there's still a little bit of frustration in me that's reluctant to agree with that. But on the balance of play, yeah, probably, yeah. I'll probably just about agree.
I mean, Chris, the thing is, like, look, we can roll out a few August cliches here. Like, you know, you don't look at the table till October, whatever. It's all about performances and not results. Like, it's a 46-game season, blah, blah, blah. I guess the important thing is, like, did you see enough against Wigan to suggest that there is a pattern of play, that we do have the potential to have enough of an attacking threat, that we are going to be solid enough at the back, like the two horrendous mistakes notwithstanding?
Yeah, I think the back line, I think, will be fine. I think, yeah, the two mistakes that can happen, they definitely need a bit of gelling. I think that was clear to see, and we definitely need a bit of organ. So, what was noticeable was that Cashin and Nelson were bombing on quite a bit, weren't they? And obviously there was a couple of times, the one before half time where we left the back door wide open, where their captain went through whilst he made a good save. But there's a couple of things that I thought we didn't help ourselves. So the quality of crossing, I thought, was really good. And every time we got a corner, I fancied us to score. You know, I think that was definitely an improvement. The bit that annoyed me a bit, and I don't know. So I went to the Chesterfield game, and I went to the Fozzie game, the Stoke one. And in that game, we played five at the back, but we played two up front. So Mendes was playing up front with Collins. And after those games, you know, people were, you know, is he at that position? Is he up front? But what we did yesterday seemed to be that Collins was up front on his own, and to me, seemed more isolated than ever. I actually thought he played all right, by the way, so I'm not digging him out there, because I actually thought he had a good game. But then Max Bird and Mendes were playing kind of in a two behind him, and kind of, and I don't think it suited either of them. So I don't think Max is a 10. I think he's, you know, obviously he can play four, but I think Warnes likes him as a more of a eight and more of an up and down, and, you know, and you need him to be a little bit further back so he can get those balls out wide to the likes of Ward and people. And I think, you know, again, I watched the clips there, and if you watch the clips, you think, oh, you know, Mendes looked dangerous, but I just thought he was lost at sea for most of the game yesterday to me. Mm. And I've got to say, if there's one thing that came out of that, I'm starting to just worry where he's going to fit. Because But then, because Warren clearly loves him, and we saw it last season where he stayed in the team way longer than he should have done when he was clearly running on empty and injured, and then Barkhuizen was sacrificed. And yesterday, he stayed on the pitch. You know, Washington should have come on even before their goal for me, and gone and just had two up top. So I think if we're going to play five at the back, we've got to play two up front, and by up front I mean up front, not, because I say, we've cut Collins yesterday, he looked more isolated than I think he ever did last season. And, you know, that was the one thing. The stuff out wide was great. You know, that was all good. The crossing Ward, it was good. And I think Everett Fozzie had a decent game, didn't he? And the two lads who came on, but yeah, we've got to get more going down the middle. And, you know, I guess they're the obvious gaps that we're trying to address.
Yeah, it's not a new issue, I guess, with Mendes Lang, is it? Like, because we had a similar thing last season when where does he fit in a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3 or whatever you want to call it? And yeah, I agree with you about Collins. And he was picking up the ball in some quite strange areas yesterday, I thought, like drifting quite far out wide, coming a bit too deep for my liking. But Blake, in terms of the actual action, that first goal that Wigan scored, there's not really much you can say about it, really. It is just a horrendous mistake that I'm sure, you know, that you're obviously going to say we just want to get out of our system at this stage in the season. But the thing is that we had four very presentable chances / attempts on goal before Wigan scored that goal. We had sort of Collins had a chance himself on his left foot, and then Fozzie had a left footed drive deflected wide. Sonny Bradley had that header from close in that just went the wrong side of the post. Mendes Lang drilled one from distance that the keeper did well to save. So I think it's fair to say, and this isn't bitterness, to say that you know, the first goal and the second goal were against a run of play. I know Wigan did have some decent openings before they scored, but I think we were well on top before that first goal, and we were, I'd say, well on top around the time they scored the second as well. So it was a frustrating one, wasn't it? But on Sonny Bradley, as I said at the start, I'm not gonna sort of dig him out and rake over that particular mistake. But what did you make of his performance overall, like his league debut throughout the whole 90?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest debut, was it? I think it's really difficult for, because you've changed so much of the back three, back five, and it's difficult to put two new centre halves in there, isn't it? And I mean, I know they've had a pre-season together, but it's never really the same until you go out and do it properly. So it wasn't. I couldn't really put my finger on what it was yesterday with the defence. I mean, Wildsmith with the second, he doesn't come out with that confidence that he had at times last year, and I think he is a bit of a miscommunication there, because the header, he's kind of, Cashin doesn't go to try and win the header, and it's, and then he comes out and misses it, and it's, I don't know whether it's like Chris alluded to, do we need to give him a few games in it? Is it just a little bit of a gelling? Is it has he just froze under the pressure of a debut? But he's a very experienced centre half that you'd maybe expect to deal with that better. So it wasn't the greatest debut. I mean, he showed glimpses, and I've just watched the highlights before we came on, and Sean Barker alluded to it. He's had an exemplary pre-season, hasn't put a foot wrong, and he was probably the last person on the pitch you'd expect to do what he did for the mistake. So I don't want to dig him out too much, but it probably wasn't the greatest debut, and I think he'd be probably the first to hold his hands up and say that himself.
One of our patrons, Chris, referred to it as the ghost of Curtis Davis. as his last contribution at the end of last season was an undercooked back pass that led to a goal. But he'll be fine, Bradley, won't he? Like, that mistake notwithstanding.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, in Huran's interview, he made the point. He said, look, you know, he's been around the block. He's big enough. He's ugly enough. You know, I think it's the nature of the beast. You're going to do that, and he was just on his first game. I think he'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, again, you've seen him from going the other way with the set pieces. It's just the corners now are completely different, aren't they? You know, every corner now you fancy someone to get on the. In fact, he should have scored. To be fair, when I saw that header, but I didn't realise at the game how good a chance that was.
Have you noticed though that those corner set piece routines are really good, and I love the way we sort of line up on the edge of the area, and then it's like charge of the light brigade, isn't it? Everyone steams in at once, but. If it doesn't work, it does leave us a bit open on the break, doesn't it? Those corner routines. So I don't know, a bit of a concern there too, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. But as I said, I think it's all a gelling down period. But I think the thing that's interesting, I do quite like I think one of the obvious things, I think we're trying to do the Sheffield United thing of the overlapping centre-backs, aren't they? Because Cashin, as we know, it's a good ball. And it would appear that Nels does as well. So if they're going to be going out and giving us that extra threat, yeah, they've just got to find their feet, haven't they? You know, new signings, new system, new manager. Bradley will be fine. I'm not worried about him at all.
I've watched it back a few times. I don't even really know what happens with that second goal that Charlie White scored for Wigan in the second half. Pretty regulation cross in that I can tell on the highlights. And Wildsmith sort of comes, misses it. Maybe he needs to come sooner and get a punch on it rather than try and catch it. And Cashin doesn't even jump. Like, what happened there, Chris? Can you break that one down for us? What you think went wrong?
Well, it was, I mean, at the game, it was like both. I mean, to be fair, I nearly missed it at the match because Kane Wilson was about to come on and there was a bit of action on, because we were all sort of willing for a sub because we had them absolutely on the ropes, didn't we, at that point? And there was a bit of kerfuffle on the bench and we were trying to work out who was coming on. So it was oddly watching it. And then, but yeah, I don't know whether kind of, yeah, Joe obviously came for it late and completely misjudged it. And I don't know whether Cashin thought that Wildsmith was going to get it, so didn't really attack it himself, or just tried to sort of keep out of the way because he saw Joe was coming. But yeah, it was a class one kind of cock up, wasn't it? Really, I mean, can't really say a lot else about it. I mean, you can dissect it all afternoon, but I mean, as I say, I mean the difference is that, you know, we don't want, you know, if Wildsmith probably, now that he has got some genuine competition, and also the genuine competition being an ex Rotherham guy, he won't need to make many more of them before people start asking the question. It'll be really interesting to see who's in goal on Tuesday, by the way.
That was the feedback we were getting on our Discord during the game, that some of our patrons are saying, like, you know, how long before Vickers, and exactly that. Wildsmith can't afford to make too many more mistakes like that. Blake, in between that, Fozzie got his goal, of course. I was trying to think earlier. How many separate seasons has Fozzie scored in now? Like, it must be, he must have scored in most seasons he's been here. And that must be at least 7, 8, maybe 9 seasons.
That's a great shout.
He's like Ryan Giggs.
That's a great shout.
That's not a comparison he'd particularly appreciate in light of recent news, but how many we're looking at? I think he scored in 13, 14, didn't he? And I reckon he scored in most seasons between that. I should have Googled that before we started, but the thing I found amusing, Blake, was that the one that he scored was probably the most difficult because he had one that Ward absolutely stuck on his left foot from about 3 yards out that he put straight to the keeper. And then another almost identical one that he managed to contrive to put in the keeper's arms about 2 yards out. And then one about 7, 8 yards out on the volley, he smashes in the bottom corner. Decent finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, Mick, who I sit next to, said if you could have chosen someone on the pitch for that not to fall to, it would have been Fozzie. But he's done it so many times when he's arrived at the far post. And if you look at the highlights from yesterday, if you look back at all the chances, he might get a few this season arriving late if he's going to be playing in that left wing back kind of role. And because he arrived late for so many and unmarked, and I can see him getting 7 or 8 this season if he's playing week in, week out. I'm going to make a prediction now. I was going to say 10 then, but I thought that's outlandish. But I can see him getting a few this season. I really can. If he's going to be playing and arriving late, and like you said, he had the shot that was deflected and we didn't get the corner that looked like it might have been on target. And then the one that, from the brilliant ball from Ward, that Collins just didn't get a toe to, and it kind of fell to him at the far post again, and he didn't really anticipate. And I tell you, on another day, it would have been a 3-0 Derby County victory and a Craig Forsyth hat-trick.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Look, Chris, it is a bit deflating, obviously, losing on the opening day, but now we've all slept on it, I think we can agree. Look, there were decent signs, as you said at the start. Like, I thought Joe Ward looked particularly promising. I mean, when we signed him, we got some feedback from Peterborough fans who said, look, he only produces one decent cross in 10. He's like an absolute bog-standard League One player. I mean, it must have been 4 or 5 crosses that he put in absolutely on the money against Wigan at the weekend. So I think he was a definite plus. And Kane Wilson as well. How good did he look in the early stages as well? Like, he looks like he's really got decent feet for someone who's sort of quite tall. And so I'm not quite sure how him and Ward will fit into the same team, but there were definite plus points despite the defeat, weren't there?
Yeah, it wasn't a catastrophe yesterday at all. You know, it was obviously a crushingly disappointing result, but it wasn't a horrendous performance. It wasn't like, you know, both their goals, you know, we gave them, and it wasn't, as I say, it wasn't like we didn't do, you know, somebody done their own work on us and turned us over. You know, I mean, Blake was joking about it there, but, you know, another day, we could easily have won that game 3-4-0 and, you know, kind of no one would have said it was an unfair result. You know, it was just, I think it was just one of those days, unfortunately. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's the cliche, isn't it? You give it 10 games till you really form a view of what it looks like. But I didn't think yesterday was it wasn't a debacle, you know, or, you know, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh my word, you know, we need another 8 players or anything like that. I think, you know, we're in the world of probably needing a couple of 3 players, which we knew before we kicked a ball. And, you know, there's probably a few little tweaks and a bit more gelling down to do than we probably thought there was. But I'm not overly concerned. And yeah, you say that there were certainly positives. As I say, the whole crossing and set piece thing, I mean, the amount of crosses we put in the box was outrageous, wasn't it, yesterday? And, you know, as I say, if we keep doing that, or we just will score goals, you know, there's just no two ways about it. And again, especially when you get 2 strikers up front, and again, I know we're going to talk about this in a bit, but if we can get one of these sort of target men type chaps who we seem to be chasing, then, you know, if you get Smith or Rhodes in there, that might be, you know, again, you're just going to score goals, aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, disappointing then. But look, we're still above Wigan in the table, and that's the real quiz. So, look, a 2-1 defeat, but, you know, there was one person who thoroughly enjoyed himself. We all know who that was. Derby's South Korean superfan, Korean Lee. we were talking about how much time we could dedicate to talking about this absolute legend on the podcast today. I feel I should set out the context of this, because it's easy to forget that not all Derby fans are on Twitter, and it is a bit of an echo chamber at times, and this lad has basically made his name on Twitter. But look, he's a Korean Derby County obsessive in his early 20s. I think he's a law student over there. And I think, Blake, I don't know how or why he ended up becoming obsessed with Derby. Was it just during the pandemic? Was that the situation?
I can't remember, to be honest. It was about that time. I can't remember the exact reason. I remember arriving on the scene and very quickly uploading highlights as they happened, and it became very popular doing that, didn't he?
And he still does that now, so all credit to him. But he's this 21-year-old Korean lad who's been planning his first ever trip to England and to Derby for a very, very long time. He's been tweeting about it a lot. And this weekend, he made it over. And by all accounts, he had the absolute time of his life, didn't he, basically? I mean, he had, looking at his tweets, by the end of the day, he'd had 10 pints, 2 Jaegers, and tequila. He'd seen Derby losing the rain. He complained about the UK's public transport and then had a Nando's and passed out in his hotel room. He's had the full traditional English day out, hasn't he, Blake?
Yeah, I saw him in the yard after the game. So what time did I shook his hand as he shook every single person in the yard's hand. There must have been 150 people in the yard post-match. And it's no exaggeration that he went round and shook every single person's hand and introduced himself.
And bowed, didn't he said as well?
Yeah, he bowed and shook hands, and it was a lovely but surreal experience, because
so polite, even though he was clearly absolutely steaming. Brilliant.
Well, when I was there, to set the context, I was with a group of Chad lads that I know, obviously I'm from the area. I was with Phil G having a pint, so I had to introduce him to Phil G and then explain to him what a Phil G is, because I think it's a bit before his time.
Yeah.
And then this group of Chad lads had taken him under his wing, and I mean, I've drank with Chad lads in my rock and roll days, but this poor lad was kind of at this table going pint for pint. Honestly, every time they went, it was in a round with him. And then at one point, he just got up and he shook the hands and he walked and God bless him, he wobbled out of the yard and headed to Nando's. I think I looked at his Twitter, and then obviously he was being recommended other places in Derby to go. But just it was just incredible. It was so surreal, because you had the Irish supporters group in there as well. So Niall Horan's dad, Bobby, was in there, and I did look round at one point and think, there's a lad there that's travelled from South Korea. There's a group of people over there that have come over for the day from Ireland. It's just what a football club.
Are you slightly disappointed in a way, Chris, that you didn't end up in Derby's foremost massage parlour till later on in the evening?
Yeah, I did worry for him. When what is the bubbles you think he put on his his Twitter? But yeah, I mean, what a guy! And I saw the pictures of him. Kind of, I mean, fair play to him. You know, he's got his shirt on, his scarf, and he's got his Korean Rams flag, and he's doing the bounce with the drummer. Do you see that video in the concourse?
Yeah.
You not seen that one? Yeah. So he's in the concourse singing 21 points and everything. And I mean, what a guy!
It has to be said, like, genuinely, like, because we're like a decent medium-sized club, but we don't have that huge element of like foreign international fans who come over for like a weekend to watch a game in Derby. So this sort of fans like Lee are quite a rarity for a club like us, aren't they? But I just found it just really wholesome and heartwarming how much the fan base sort of took them to their hearts. And genuinely, like, you do wish, don't you, that there were more people with his like dedication and like open-mindedness to new experiences, don't you, Blake?
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock him, because I mean, I love an experience and a life memory as much as anyone, but to get on a plane at his age and go halfway around the world on your own and just go and just take it all in, and he's going around. I know he's going, like we mentioned before, come on, going to Scotland, he's been in London and come to watch Derby. I mean, fair play to him. It takes some takes some courage, doesn't it, to get on a plane like that and just introduce you. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday. The equivalent is me flying across the world to watch a Korean team, go in all these pubs, shake everyone's hands, introduce yourself. I mean, fair play to the lad, because it takes some to go and do that. And he's flying the flag for Derby, isn't he? So we can't knock him.
Chris, if the shoe was on the other foot, hypothetically, I know this is quite difficult, and obviously you're sort of married and you've got grown-up kids and everything, but if you were his age and you somehow supported a random sports team on the other side of the world, would you do what he did back in the day?
Yeah, not at 20, I don't think I would. Not on my own either. You know, I think that's the other point. You know, if it's like kind of, if there's two of you, I know this is a weird thing to say, and you know, and I love my own company, by the way, but so I'm not that guy, but you know, to go to the other side of the world to watch sport, as you say, on your own, And he's like, he's planned it all, because he's been planning it all, hasn't he, for weeks and things. And, you know, I mean, again, you were saying there, Blake, about, you know, just the apprehension. I mean, and he just rolls into the Neptune, you know, which is intimidating enough for, like, if you're from around here, never mind from a 20-year-old from Korea. So he rolls into the Neptune, and he's just, within 5 minutes, he's doing selfies and Jaegers, and you just can't knock the guy, you know. It's, but the other thing I thought was, I just like about this whole thing, and is that, you know, he's obviously a top guy, and he's soaking it all up. And but I just you know, there's been a few, you know, with Twitter, you know, everyone's horrible on Twitter, aren't they, at times. There's always somebody who drags it down. And you know, he was getting a bit of beef on here about his Burton ticket, and it's just nonsense. And so I think you said something, Chris, about it was just heartwarming seeing everybody kind of just being nice to him, you know, just from a pure human angle, just
nice,
him going
nice to him, but also,
yeah, no one's making fun of him,
but trying to kill him with alcohol at the same time.
Everyone's buying him beers, everyone's having a laugh with him. No one's, you know, everyone's just giving him a bit of respect, but having, you know, making him having a top day. And yeah, I just thought the whole thing was awesome. And just like you saying, we were saying off air, weren't we, before, just kind of following his Twitter feed yesterday was almost the highlight of the day. it was awesome. And I think it was a communal kind of cheer, sort of sigh of relief when he tweeted that he was back in his hotel room.
Yeah. Well, I've got an update for you this morning, the morning after the night before. I was hoping he would send us like a cheeky voice note when he's absolutely hanging out his ass this morning. But he can't do that because he still hasn't got his voice back from the game yesterday. God bless him. But he is alive. And I don't really blame him, to be honest. I can barely string a sentence together after 5 pints, let alone 10. So he's here. He's all right. He should make it to the Pirelli next weekend. But he wasn't fit to tell us how it all went, unfortunately. But Lee, absolute credit to you. Now, look, before the break, a cheeky mention for our Patreon. Loads going on at the moment, because this month, as well as your bonus content, you can join us on our Discord, where there's loads going on there. You get your welcome pack in the post for signing up, and you can even try before you buy with our new free trial feature. But this month's bonus podcast was something a little bit different, where we tried a new series called Rams Mastermind. Blake smirking because he was right in the mix on this one, where we were looking to find the Derby fan with the best trivia knowledge of the Rams. So here's a little taster of listener Pete Lee playing the Articulate round with our very own Blake Fallows, where we had to name as many Derby County players as he could in 90 seconds from Blake's clues. And the category was Luck of the Irish. Check it out. Articulate round, Pete Lee, your 90 seconds starts now.
Was captain of the club for a long time, left under a bit of a cloud.
Keogh.
Came through the academy, was signed at 16.
Jeff Hendrick.
Current Derby centre-half, also came through the academy.
Cashier.
Winger from season before last, very quick, built, strong. I think he's gone to an Italian club now.
Pass.
Number five, Ooh-ah. I thought that was going to work then.
Punk-ah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Recently left the club. Another academy prospect, midfielder. Quite small. Recently left in the last few weeks.
Oh, I've gone blank. Go on, next.
Known for his long throw-ins.
Roger that.
Another current player, centre midfielder, great left foot, good from set pieces.
Hourihan.
So there you go, Blake. I can see you sort of visibly cringing there at some of the. But that's the thing with Articulate. It's really hard when the spotlight's on you. But I thought, credit to you. You did pretty well. But we're going to do a few more then, aren't we, if we can?
Yeah. It was just the amount of ums in there. It sounded like Nigel Clough. That's why I took my headphones off for a minute then. It's the That was just making me like, oh. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Who was the winger?
Festi Ebersele.
Oh, right. Okay. The right back.
Yeah, that's...
It was a winger. We turned him in the typical Derby County fashion. He was a winger that we turned into a right back.
Yeah.
I think you did all right there, Blake. Like, just saying, yeah, he's incredibly fast and we sold him to an Italian club. I thought you gave him enough there, but so I wouldn't put that one on you. Chris, if you were to go on Derby County Mastermind, what would your specialist subject be, do you think?
Whoa, that's a goodie.
The life and times of Bobby Davison?
Yeah, no, maybe 86, 87 season. Jim Smith, Bold Eagle season.
Yeah.
That season. I did every game bar one. Now, my claim to fame is that's the only season I did every single game, home and away, bar Stoke at home. And the reason I didn't do Stoke at home is because I was watching Oasis in Paris. There you go.
I'll give you that. That's a pretty solid reason. Well, I'll stick your name on the list and maybe we can get you on to challenge Pete's unbeaten title. But look, to sign up on Patreon and support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/Steve Bloomer's Washing to find out more today.
Hi, Derby County fans. I'm Branko Struper.
Hi, I'm Paolo Wanchop.
Hi, I'm Mart Poom.
And you are listening to Steve Bloomer's Washing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Martin, low, and again, delivers with his weaker foot, Patterson, Martin! Out of the wilderness, onto the score sheet, Chris Martin may well have salvaged Derby County, the most unlikely of points here.
So, look, we alluded to it a bit in the first half there, Chris. And, I don't think any of us are saying after that one defeat that we need a whole new squad. We've spent the whole summer building this team and Warren's got his own players in. But we are still a bit light up top. That's obvious. And everyone knows that Warren is working on that. It seems to me, three possible names that we could get in for an extra front man. You're looking at Jordan Rhodes. He's one we talked about on our Patreon pods. We thought we had ITK knowledge that one is definitely happening, but then there were rumblings that he didn't turn up for a medical, so we don't quite know what's going on there. So you've got Jordan Rhodes, more than 200 career goals, let's not forget, but only 8 in the last 2 years, and he hasn't actually hit double figures for anyone since 2015, 2016. Then you got Martin Waghorn, of course, who obviously held in a lot of affection by quite a large number of Derby fans, was at the game against Wigan. So it looks like he's almost certain to join, I think. I think I saw a picture of him even in like a club trackie outside the ground at the weekend. So yeah, it looks like he's coming. But again, his career has gone a bit off the rails since he left Derby 2 years ago, and he's only scored 3 goals in more than 50 appearances for Coventry and Huddersfield in recent years since leaving in 2021. And then the more recent one, which I hadn't actually heard about until you made me aware, Chris, was Michael Smith, which I think the Mirror first reported, this 6'3" striker in the Paul Warren mould, of course, and bagged more than 50 in 4 years playing for Warren at Rotherham. So the exact sort of player that he knows and likes and wants. And we've apparently made a loan bid for him. But would Sheffield Wednesday let a player like him go? I think I saw that he wasn't in their squad against Southampton in their first game. But three options there, Chris. Which one of those do you think we'll end up with?
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard the post-match. I listened to the the post-match. Obviously, I can't hear it at the time because we're at the game. But I've listened to the podcast this morning, the post-match one. And Warren pretty much said that Waggy's done. So if you play that back, I think you'll find Waggy will probably be announced today or tomorrow. So I think that's done. And we were saying at the game yesterday with that weird 5-2-2-1, he would have actually been perfect to have been sat behind you know, kind of Collins as a sort of a shadow striker, if you like, as a much better in that role, I think, than Mendes. So I think Weggie's come in. I'm not anti that at all. Solid player. I've liked him when he was here. I thought, you know, in terms of if he was our marquee signing, you might be a bit, but as part of a rotating four, I think he's good, you know, good value. He knows the club. He lives around the corner. I think his boy's in the academy, I think, as well. And so, yeah, I'm happy with that. I think of the other two, I don't know, really. I think we're more likely to get Rhodes than Smith. I mean, again, there's been a little bit of noise where he was coming, and then I heard the same things as you, Chris, that he didn't show up, or there was a bit of a misunderstanding, or something got changed last minute, and Warren wasn't very happy about it, I don't think. But then last week, at some of the Huddersfield feeds, it literally on Thursday, Friday, were saying it's done. So, you know, he might appear, but I don't know. With Rhodes, I think he knows where the goal is. I don't think we can say that. I think when you have to watch, when you talk about goals in the last few years, you've also got to think, well, where's he been? He's been a bit part player in the Championship, hasn't he? Sort of. So I think that kind of coming in League One, he knows his way around the area. And I think what we were talking about at the top of the pod was that the amount of crosses going into the box, you would like to think that someone like him, even, you know, those classic games, 15 minutes to go, somebody's parked the bus and he comes on and can win as a couple. It's money well spent, isn't it? So I think Smith's the golden goose, but I'm really struggling to see a scenario where that happens. The only way I think we get him is because Sheffield Wednesday at the moment appears to me to be a basket case. And, you know, if Cisco Munez just doesn't like him, or he falls out with him, or the chairman just does something odd, you know, that's, I think our only hope there is Sheffield Wednesday doing something wild, because I just can't see a scenario where they'd let him go. And we're not going to drop £500,000 on anyone. So, I think he would be the golden. I mean, if you sign him, then, you know, I think we can fire up the quattro for promotion again. But to me, it just feels like a long shot, that does to me.
Blake, do you agree with that?
Yeah, agree 100% with all of that. I mean, Waghorn seems to be done, doesn't it? I think he was telling fans that he was having pictures with yesterday outside Pride Park that it was done, and he was signing. So exactly the same as Chris. Am I anti it? No. Does it excite me? Not really.
Yeah.
But it's one of them that it's a body in, it's an option, isn't it? And it doesn't particularly get me going, but it's another option. The Rhodes deal, I stuck my neck out on the line on a Patreon episode, didn't I? And kind of said I thought it was done. And I think these things are always complicated when Neil Warnock's involved. So I think there's been a few complications, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Jordan Rhodes come in. I'm not going to stick my neck out on the line, but with Rhodes, he just gives you that extra, the goal scoring option, isn't it? It's the out and out kind of goal scorer that you need. I mean, his record doesn't suggest that in recent seasons, but he's just a natural finisher, isn't he? If you look at his goals when he was bagging four a game and stuff like that, he's a natural goal scorer. And
it's just how much he wants it, though, I think, doesn't it? Because, like, you just have to ask yourself, like, what can Paul Warren get out of Jordan Rhodes that Neil Warnock couldn't last season? Although I guess the main point for all of this is that he's dropping down a level, and he will get more chances, he will get more space, he will get more opportunities. So, like, even a Jordan Rhodes that is only half asked about playing and isn't 100% fit could probably still get probably a dozen goals in League One, wouldn't he? You imagine?
Yeah. And maybe if you look at it, that he's been in the Championship and had 4 or 5 years where he's not been at his best. Could Warren go to Marseille, come down, drop down to League One with Warren's man management style, come and rebuild your career here, come and get 15 goals for me this season, get Derby County promoted, and then you're back, you've had a good season, you're back in the Championship. You can sell it to him like that, can't you? Here's an opportunity to come and get back to your best, and that might be motivation for him to come and because you don't know. I mean, you take it player by player, but maybe he doesn't want to just pick money up and be on the bench in the Championship. Maybe he does want to get out scoring goals. I mean, I'm being the ultimate optimist here and judging footballers with a glass half full mentality, but maybe he does want to come and prove himself and score some goals. It's a good opportunity, and coming to a club like Derby, I mean, it's a cliche, but he's going to be playing in front of 30,000 at Pride Park, and
yeah,
it's better than being sat at the bench at Huddersfield, isn't it? Come and play in front of 30,000 and go and score some goals for me. It's the ultimate motivation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I agree with Chris. Like, I think Smith is the one I want most, but also the one that's least likely to happen. But as I say, the disclaimer on all of this is that something probably will happen in the next couple of days. So as ever, the last 5 minutes of discussion will probably be partially or completely out of date by the time people listen to this, but that's the nature of what we do. So we'll see what happens over the course of the week. I guess maybe there'd be money to spend if somehow we end up losing Max Bird, although I think I speak for the majority when I say I hope that doesn't happen. Lee Curtis from the Derby Telegraph reported that Derby knocks back a derisory, I love that word, Blake, derisory bid from Hull City for Max Bird. I don't think he said how much it was, but where do you stand on that one? I guess the thing is, for me, you don't want to lose him, but on the other hand, every player has their price, and it would ultimately be up to Bird as to whether he fancies playing, linking up with Rossini again and playing in a higher division, albeit for a team who I don't necessarily expect to be competing at the top end of the championship next season. But if we do lose Max Bird, A, how much do we get for him? B, can we spend that money at all? Just off the back of what Warren said about not really being able to see much of the Jason Knight or Christian Bielik cash. And C, losing him at this point after the first game of the season, like, who could we really get who would genuinely improve the squad? I mean, most deals that are done by decent teams have been like weeks or months in the making. Teams do their research. Like, I'm not saying you're left in sort of bargain basement, it's like 2 a.m. in the nightclub and the lights are coming on sort of situation. But like, look, could we get someone better if Max Bird goes? How do you feel about it all?
Well, first things first, you're not going to get a light-for-light replacement, or you're not going to get another Max Bird in the building. It doesn't matter if you go and get 2, 3, 4 million, you're not going to get another Max Bird. So it's down to the player, isn't it? And if Derby will have their valuation of him, we've got to remember financially we're stable, but we're not we're not flooded with cash, are we? So how many more opportunities are you going to get to meet Max Bird's valuation? It's the same with, it was similar with Jason Knight, isn't it? It's like you take the money while you can still get it, kind of thing. That would get some money for one of our academy products, but like get some money back in. And I think it's just down to Bird. Do you deny him the opportunity of going and playing in the championship? I don't know where Bird would stand on this. You've got two kind of schools of thought, haven't you? That you try and get Derby County back up and you go up and play with Derby in the championship, or you've had your time now at the club and you go and you spread your wings. But if you could guarantee, if it was, like you say, Chris, if it was the beginning of May and the bid came in, then you could look at it differently and maybe say, right, if Bird goes, we're guaranteed to go and get a Michael Smith for 300 grand, or you can go and reinvest the money. But at this stage, I don't think you're going to be able to reinvest. So it's a question of what's best for the player and what does he want, and for the club, do they need the money? And is it a question of you get the money while you can, and it's purely a business decision, really, isn't it? I think football-wise, you're not going to be able to reinvest, and you're certainly not going to be able to find someone of Max Bird's quality to replace him. That goes without saying.
And the thing is, Chris, like, fundamentally, we're losing a good player in Max Bird. A player who was captain or vice-captain, whatever he was last season. But losing him would also leave us pretty short on bodies in the middle, wouldn't it? Like, is there a situation where you can justify selling Max Bird?
Well, I mean, well, most obvious, every player's got their price, obviously. And if somebody comes in and starts talking 2 million plus, we are, as Blake just said there, we're not on our arse money-wise anymore, but we're certainly not flush. And I think it's difficult there. And as soon as he turns around, and again, if Max turns around and says, well, actually, I quite fancy it, because he knows Racine, maybe if it's Hull, obviously he knows Liam, he's got a bit of familiarity there. He's not stepping into the unknown. But yeah, I mean, we're short in midfield anyway. I mean, I'm with Blake all the way. I love Max Bird. I think he's brilliant. I mean, he's arguably our best player. And I think if he left now, you'd like to think the recruitment team are sitting there with a list of 10 people to replace him, but what would happen? I can tell you exactly what would happen. You, as Blake said, and I agree with this 100%, you're never going to replace him with anyone with that the same type of player. So what you're probably going to get is a couple of, probably you'd have to replace him with probably two, if not three, League One kind of rats who are just going to run around box to box and just run around. I mean, I saw one thing I did see with the whole thing. There was somebody, I don't know if this is true, but somebody was talking about Ryan Woods coming the other way. Remember him, the ginger guy? And I think Rowett paid like 6 million for him at one point when he was at Stoke. But I think that's the sort of player you'd see coming back. But again, the clock's ticking, and whether you'd replace him in that time, and then you've got another couple of players to gel in. I think it'd be bad. There's not many, you know, short of somebody paying something nuts for him where you think, well, actually, we've got 5 million, which is not going to happen. I just don't see any happy ending with Max leaving at all.
Yeah, all I'm just hoping to avoid is some is horrendous deadline day scenes and sort of shades of Gregor's Razziak and Tom Huddleston and that sort of jabang. But I'd like to think we're not in that situation of having to do that anymore. We don't have to sell him. So I think fundamentally it is up to him, basically. So look, I think we're going to leave it there for now. Burton next in the league. You both going?
Yep.
Yep.
Which one of you is going to get a selfie of Korean Lee first? That's another question.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the lookout. I'm definitely on the lookout for him. I haven't met him yet. Blake's met him already.
You have to get near him first. He'll probably be like, sort of minor celebrity and be forming a queue to get a selfie of this kid. It'll be amazing, won't it, Blake?
Yeah. I think he did suggest he's going to the cricket, so he might actually be there today. But I don't know which. I think we've got two home games this week, Derbyshire. But maybe if he's going Edinburgh in the week, maybe he might be there today. There might be less of a queue at the cricket.
I hope you can bat. He might get a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good shout.
Well, we'll see what happens next week. And look, cup game in the week. In the meantime, to get back on track for the Rams before that trip to the Pirelli. Hope you boys have a good time there. Hope Korean Lee has a good time there and the fans who've got a ticket for that one. But Chris Smith, pleasure as always. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, cheers, Chris. Really enjoyed that. It was really good fun. And always a pleasure.
Cheers, Blake.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Chris. Cheers, Chris's.
Thanks for joining us. On to the next one. See ya.